Awesome, like podcasts and stuff?
I've seen people with podcasts less desperate for approval.
I hope this isn't about your podcast again.
Please, podcasts are verbal narcissism for ugly journalists.
Welcome to the Awful Announcing Podcast. Here's your host, Ben Heisler.
Welcome in, everybody. This is the Awful Announcing Podcast. So glad to have you guys join us today. Ben Heisler with you, and I am joined in just a minute by our guest for our upcoming Clip It game. The Awful Announcing Podcast is presented by Clip It. It's the number one way to share your favorite movie clips, television clips, sound clips, whatever you want, with your friends and family. We'll get to our game coming up in just a second, but I'm very excited to have Rob Perez, Worldwide Wob, as our guest today. One of the best follows in the world of the NBA, a really insightful guy, and we cover everything from how he first realized that this is something that he might be able to do to what inspired him. And it's actually a great story of sort of how everything first initially came together and what's led to one of the best Twitter follows currently with the NBA right now. So we'll get to Rob Perez coming up in just a moment. But of course, it is time for our game, and we bring in Tom in Cleveland. Tom correctly identified Worldwide Wob Rob Perez as our guest this week from Buckets on Cycle Media and ESPN. Tom, thanks so much for playing. Congrats. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, sir?
I'm good. So you're in the Cleveland area. You guys got a big series and a potential looming decision for arguably the best representative that your city has had in the sports world and arguably one of the greatest of all time. Are you settled? Are you nervous? How are you feeling about this series so far?
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit on edge. I'm sitting here in my office at work and looking out the window across the way over at Quicken Loans Arena. We got big Cavs Pacers game coming up here tonight, and you know, I don't think anybody in town was necessarily expecting this series to be as competitive as it's been. You got the extra layer of stress with what could or could not be happening this summer, so we'll see how it goes. But big game tonight.
Well, I think I have a way to hopefully put you at ease a little bit, and that's the opportunity to win $50 to Amazon.com. That's courtesy of our friends over at Clip It. So it sounds like you've been paying attention to the NBA. That's good news. We're going to give you two clips. You have to correctly identify the person speaking in the clip. If you get them both right, you get $50 to Amazon.com. Get just one. It's $25, and if you get none of them right, well, hopefully the only thing you might be winning is a Cleveland victory tonight. So Tom in Cleveland, are you ready to play?
Let's roll.
Okay, let's start with clip number one. I want you to tell me the name of the person that is freaking out after hearing voices in his head. Tell me the person that is starting to freak out just a little bit. Take a listen.
Kenny, you got a point?
Oh, always. Okay. But wait, you can go first.
Two things about this. I want to see how New Orleans was
Hey! Oh, we're doing Charles, a show down here.
TV show down here.
Charles is yelling at Hal Galima, Batman, who's in a conversation with someone.
He's in a conversation with
someone. The volume box, Hal. He got voices in his head. Talk to him on your own time, Hal. Well, two things about this game is really impressing me.
Can you correctly identify, Tom in Cleveland, who that person that was hearing the voices screaming inside his head, who was it?
I believe that's Charles Barkley.
It sure was Charles Barkley. That is correct. It's probably not the first time that Charles has heard voices inside of his head, but this time it was actually coming from somebody inside the Turner Studios facility. All right, so $25 to Amazon.com is yours. In clip number two, Tom, I need you to tell me which NBA roster kept on giving Derrick Rose the incorrect name. Take a look.
Three. Rose is there with the leaping rebound. Rose is out of the box and off to the races. Reggie Rose has been terrific in this series.
I would say more so spectacular by Derrick Rose.
Who accidentally referred to him as Reggie Rose, even though I think he was talking to his partner instead?
That would be Kevin Harlan.
It is Kevin Harlan. I feel bad putting this one on Kevin. I don't know if that's necessarily fair. Either way, $50 to Amazon, Tom, is yours. Congratulations.
Thank you. Wishing
your Cavs the best of luck. And hopefully you enjoy the rest of the series. And thanks for playing on the Awful Announcing Podcast.
Appreciate it.
Remember to follow Awful Announcing on Twitter at Awful Announcing, as we will continue to keep you posted for who our next guest will be here on the podcast. And you have a chance to get it right. $50 to Amazon.com could be yours thanks to our friends at Clipit. Download the Clipit app today on iOS and on Android. Our conversation with Rob Perez, the co-host of Buckets on Cycle and ESPN, is coming up next. This is the Awful Announcing Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to the Awful Announcing Podcast. Here's your host, Ben Heisler.
Our guest this week is Rob Perez. He's the co-host of Buckets with Cassidy Huppertz over on Cycle Media and ESPN. But of course, you'll also know him on Twitter at world_wide_wob. For more Buckets, check out facebook.com/buckets and live.twitter.com/ESPN. If you like Buckets, be sure to follow Cycle on Twitter. Their handle is at @BYCycle for more incredible content. Rob, it's good to talk to you again, man. It's been too long, and I don't know about you, but I miss our Bachelor podcast. Me, you, and Maddie Lou Chandler. It was during Ben Higgins' season, and it helped provide sanity to what was an absurd season of that show. But it's good to talk to you, man.
That was the glory days of The Bachelor, before The Bachelor became self-aware of what they were, and now they're just playing to what made them The Bachelor. That was peak Bachelor, right? Those were the days. To anyone that's watched the show, it's certainly become too much of a soap opera now, but at the time, you actually felt like you were watching this, people actually try and fall in love, but they weren't, and you never knew. But what we had was a podcast to just kind of vent, right, like many people needed at the time. So I'm glad this is our reunion show.
That's right. Yeah, we were providing a service to people, man. We were all
exactly. We were all
about the people, and you're so on about how The Bachelor sort of became. Normally, it works with shows and with reality shows when they become somewhat self-aware, because then it's smart in how they put themselves together and how they strategize and what the content's going to be. But it went the complete opposite route for them because they became too self-aware and they started overthinking what the show's supposed to be. Man, this is not difficult. This is not complicated. Right. Put together a drunken fest and let us enjoy it.
Yeah, they turned it into the WWE a little bit too much for me to keep going, but certainly I will never forget those days, and that's how we first met. So now we're here.
There we go. Yeah, we first met there. I think it was Nick Houselman over at B-Ball Breakdown that first brought us together and then helped us turn that into the podcast. Those are some good days. We'll get to your show with Buckets with Cassidy Huppertz coming up in just a little bit. I'm glad you brought up WWE, because I was reading up a little bit and I saw you did an interview a while back with the Washington Post, and I think you had a line that said, like, the NBA is this combination of WWE and Days of Our Lives, because there's all these plot twists and players are sort of forming different character narratives. And sports fans, they cling on to every walking moment. And you handle that so well on social media. You tell these stories. So, like, I'm curious to hear your perspective, because I think besides the best athletes that we've ever seen play basketball right now, I think basketball culture, that WWE soap opera culture, I think it resonates with, like, a really young audience far better than any sport. Basketball ratings keep going up. Players have never been better, but it's created, like, this culture that has submersed itself into a younger audience. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on, like, why basketball has made itself so available and so popular with younger people.
Right. So the first step is, younger people is a generation in which grew up with iPhones, iPods, iPads practically in their laps at age 2 and 3.
Right.
Everywhere I look, there's a kid with a device of some kind. When I went to high school, we didn't even have laptops. Like, we were writing things on paper, which sounds like a foreign concept at this point, but
yeah,
we would take notes on paper.
We were learning cursive too, Rob.
That actually happened. There was loose leaf, and you would write ink on it. I know that's completely far-fetched at this point in 2018, but when you combine that with what the NBA has become, which is not only it's a sport of great professional basketball players dueling it out on the court, but the Days of Our Lives WWE comparison comes about when the games end. So the games are just part of the story, the same way that WrestleMania is just part of WWE as a whole. When the games end, we have things like Woj bombs, where Adrian Wojnarowski is going to drop some major news overnight that's going to cause 2 to 3 hours worth of just viral storylines. You've got the players going to Instagram and Twitter and like liking certain things, like we saw with the Durant versus Westbrook yesterday.
Yeah.
Or J.R. Smith going into the Instagram mentions and calling Lance Stephen. He put the clown emoji under one of his highlights. So it just never stops. And whether it's the drama, pettiness, or whatever it is, there is a 24/7 news cycle with the NBA all year. It doesn't take 3 months off. The only month it ever takes off or even close to it is August. But sometimes even in August, we have the Olympics and then there's FIBA World Championships. There's always NBA content to be consumed by just sports fans in general, not just diehard basketball fans. And because of that, you become part of the story. You get invested in it. And I get people in my mentions all the time. They're like, you know what? I don't even like basketball, but I like the kiss cams. I like watching these players subtweet each other online. I think it's just petty. Like, I don't even need to watch the games. I just want to see what happens after. And that's the reason alone why ratings are going up, because it's bringing in more than just someone that knows what a flex screen is or a horn screen or a flex cut or a horn screen, right. I should say.
I think you're spot on with that too. And I'm wondering why more sports, and maybe they can't pick up on it. Maybe basketball is so unique in its individuality. And because you have one player that can single-handedly take over a game, you don't have that in baseball. You don't have that in the NFL or in hockey, maybe with the exception of the quarterback position in the NFL. It's just, there is a model for which this can be successful. And I'm just surprised, I know how you feel about this, that more sports haven't picked up on this type of model. Or maybe you just believe it only works for the NBA because that's how the NBA is designed.
Well, yeah. So two things about that.
Yeah.
The first of which is NBA players, they don't wear helmets and they don't wear masks.
Yeah.
So baseball, they have helmets on. You can still see their face, but they have hats and helmets on in the batter's box. Football obviously has helmets on. Hockey, they've got masks with windshields, and even the goalies, you can't see anything on their face. So just in terms of marketing purposes, seeing the faces and being able to relate with just their general human emotions is something that's completely underrated. Like, we get to see the way LeBron reacts to a bad foul call. You can't do that if it's Tom Brady reacting to an offsides call, just because we don't have that angle, right? We can't relate to him in that way. So the NBA will always have that advantage alone. In addition to that, they've proven that they have a philosophy of marketing in terms of, you know what, it's technically against the law or our rules for you to take our videos and put them on the internet, but they've proven they have a very loose policy. They want their fans talking about the league, and if it's at the expense of this kind of bootlegged content, they've shown us that they're okay with it. And there's no right or wrong answer there, because on the other end of the spectrum, you've got Major League Baseball and the NFL that want to control
everything
that's produced. And they will shut accounts down that are infringing on their copyrights. That's within their means. So they're not doing anything wrong. The reason they want to do that is because they want to monetize those videos. The NBA is on the other end of the spectrum in that if you use our videos without our consent, that is going to bring in a new audience, and you get people talking about it, and it's super social media heavy, because you can just go to Twitter and Instagram and share this video without any repercussions for these small individual accounts. Before you know it, you got millions of people talking about one same video, and it just snowballs. So when you combine those two things, I think that's ultimately why the NBA has become this kind of cultish type of sport,
right?
That just makes you it's sports religion in a sense. You include the 24/7 mentality plus the ability to consume and share it, and I get to like be in the front row with this coverage of the games with the players and see the way they're reacting. It really has become the perfect storm, and it's ultimately why they're so successful.
Now, Jeff Passan and I were at Yahoo Sports, had a conversation about this from the baseball side, about how they're so behind on this element of sharing their media and helping it grow the sport as opposed to trying to monetize every single part of it. And, you know, he mentioned that, you know, well, at least baseball helped turn it into BAMTech, and that ended up being a fairly successful enterprise. But at some point, you have to realize what the medium is and how far you can grow it. Did you ever have the NBA in sort of your early stages come to you and say, hey, this isn't what we're looking for? Or did they ever come to you and say, what you're doing is awesome? Before everything sort of started to get much bigger for you, did you ever have any initial conversations with the NBA as to what you were doing and the videos you were putting out there?
No, honestly, I've never had the NBA like either come after me or say, you know, we love what you're doing. They've kind of let me exist, which I think is a statement in itself. And you just mentioned the MLB and such. I do want to reiterate that what they're doing is not the wrong way of doing it. It's just their way of doing it and the way they want to monetize their business.
Yeah.
But the NBA specifically, as long as they let me at this point continue to pirate their videos, because that's what I'm doing. Like, I see the videos that I take across the internet on all these different sites, and people ask me, do you get mad when you see someone take your caption in your video? And my answer is no, because I'm technically stealing from the NBA and all of their rights holders that are paying for the legal rights to use those HD videos. So I'm never like really offended by it, because it would make me look like a hypocrite.
Right.
Maybe that's why they just haven't had any communication with me, because I'm not an official partner. But as the account continues to grow, I'd be foolish to think that I know that they're not, like, they are watching. So I do need to make sure I don't step out of bounds, because they have let me go beyond any sort of regulation, right, without any sort of repercussion.
We're catching up with Rob Perez. He's the co-host of Buckets with Cassidy Hubberth over on Cycle Media and ESPN. You, of course, know him on Twitter at world_wide_wob. I'm sure you've been asked this question before, but I'm curious to get your perspective on it. When did you know, Rob, that you were gaining viewers and you were gaining attention? Did you sort of have an aha moment in this whole process? Was there one video that you remember that got more traction than others? What was sort of that central point for when you started to realize, like, this could pick up and I'm really enjoying myself in the process and I can do this for a while?
Yeah, I don't think I ever had my Ken Bone moment, my Yodel Kid moment, you know, where it's just overnight and there's half million followers and you're this internet sensation. It's been a very slow drip for me. I have, when I just first started doing the content thing full time, I was writing thousands and thousands and thousands of words, which people still have never seen. I was just putting them on the blog because I knew when my opportunity came, I would be able to show. And someone said, I like what you do. Could you potentially do more for us? I'm like, oh, you know what? I do have all this stuff that I now can show you.
Yeah.
So, that was certainly step one. If there was ever a moment where it felt like it kind of turned around or pivoted to, all right, there's definitely something here. I love him to death now. He's become a friend and a close business relationship. But Darren Rovell, as many people, was in my crosshairs for a very long time.
Yes, he was.
I don't even need to explain why. It's just because he's Darren Rovell. But he did something. I forgot what it was specifically, but he irked me. And I said, you have 48 hours to apologize to me and unblock me on Twitter, or I am going to rain hellfire upon you in the form of, like, tearing apart one of his stories and going. It was nothing malicious, but it went everywhere. Like, when I published the article, at that moment, I was on people's radars as a potential influencer. But in terms of NBA being more than just this kind of commenter troll with witty jokes, it's been almost a decade of just kind of being this fan, watching the game, trying to provide content that's different from what you see on TV and all these great shows and guys like X's and O's, guys like Zach Lowe or Coach Nick that you alluded to that can break down game film. I'm never going to be as good as them. So I need to be able to provide something that fans are interested in that they don't have. And that's the hardest thing to do for any industry if you're looking to get into content, is how do you plant your flag on a space that hasn't been claimed yet and make it good? So I kind of did that with when this app called Vine came about in 2012, 2013. It lets you record your screen and post videos that stream directly to Twitter. Like, I'm going to show my own version of highlights. And then this app called Periscope and Meerkat came out 2014, 2015, it allowed you to directly stream to your audience. You know what? We're going to talk about basketball and we're going to react to things in real time. This was something that had never been done before. So all of those things combined, plus the slow drip of this audience feeling like they've been invested since day one, they feel like they've been part of the story buildup, is maybe I guess, why I'm here talking to you today.
It's an awesome story, and it's something that you take creative control over and just build it up to the point where there is a following and there is culture behind it. And I mean, it's awesome to see what it has become. And you're right. It is part of the reason that we're having this conversation now, but I couldn't be happier for you because of it. Rob Perez is our guest here on the podcast today. So now it all comes full circle. Tell me about how you and Cycle, Cassidy Hubberth, how you guys all ended up coming together with ESPN and how Buckets ultimately got formed.
Oh, wow. All right. So we got to take a trip down memory lane here.
Okay.
What we say on Buckets is this show, the mantra is it's not just a basketball culture, it's a lifestyle for the reasons I just described.
Correct.
Now, we also say that we have gone from pizza rolls to prime time because the original Periscope that we did, which was, I guess, the first Buckets, it was just a late night Periscope, was me coming home from the bar, drunk in West Hollywood, struck out. It was 3 a.m., hungry, got the munchies like any other mid-20s person out there. I'm like, I got to make pizza rolls. So I'm like, do I oven these? Do I microwave these? And I went on Periscope trying to get advice, and I had like 50 people in there. It was pretty cool. And I was like, wow, they actually kind of engaged with what I was doing. Maybe I should try something a little bit more serious, not at 3 a.m. Maybe we'll even talk about basketball. So 50 became 150, which became 500, which became thousands, and now it's at this point. So along the way, there were stops at, you know, several different blogs, and I was working at Fox Sports, and the guys here at Cycle were watching the Periscopes that I was doing, and they said, if we kind of provided you with the resources, both financially, production, to turn these late night Periscopes, which were just me in my pajamas sitting on the couch pretty much, turn this into a real program, would you be interested? And obviously, you know, I was, because I thought that was the next step for me in my content career.
Yeah.
And I kind of rolled the dice, picked up everything out of Los Angeles and moved back to New York. From that point, we did our first season of Buckets, and now that Cycle is in a partnership, a content branding partnership with ESPN. We work on a lot of projects together of producing these videos and all the business type of stuff that I have no clue about. But ultimately what happened was when we got into bed with ESPN business-wise, it opened up the opportunity for me to go out and get Cassidy Hubberth, who I've always been a fan of. I mean, she does everything. She's studio, sidelines, she's an analyst, she can do anything. But most importantly, she gets it when it comes to basketball culture. She's one of the few people that just get it. And because of that, I said, stop everything. We need to go and get Cassidy to be the co-host on the show, not just because we're friends and she was a guest on the first season, but because she is what Buckets has become. And she was the one person that I knew could seamlessly fit right into this 5 to 6 year Periscope cult that we've created. And I keep saying the word cult, which I don't mean to be derogatory, but they it's exactly what they are. A lot of the segments that we come up with on the show that are so popular are because they are crowdsourced from the comment section during the episodes. They feel like they are building the show themselves. Cassidy totally gets that, and she's able to interact with them not as a untouchable type of on TV personality. She's just kind of one of the guys. She's one of us. And that seamless transition, I think, is why the show is at the point where it is now.
That's interesting that you say that you think there might be others that are afraid of going into sort of the inner webs of what makes a show good. Like if you're going and you're trying to find what your viewers are interested in, you're going to the comments section and it's working. I'm surprised that there aren't more that are using that same methodology to try and create more shows like that. If anything, you're getting a direct connection into what your audience wants and you're learning from it. And I feel like there's so many, especially studio shows, where it seems very straight edge. And obviously, inside the NBA, sort of the iconic top of the hill. And ESPN's has gotten a much better with Jalen and Michelle and Paul and those guys as well. But to me, that's so easy. It's directly there. They're telling you exactly what you want, and you guys are just being smart and saying, okay, let's find a way. You've given us the idea. Let's work from it and let's learn from it.
Yeah, so it's 2018 now, and because of Twitter, because of Instagram, just social internet and social media in general, everyone feels like they have a voice. And you know what? They do. So this show, Buckets, that we came out with is contrasts what has been so traditional on television, which is, like you said, very straightforward. Here's what we're talking about today. There's no way for me as a viewer to tell you what I think unless I go into the comments section of some website. But here on Buckets, it's live, and we are in real time engaging with that audience. This is something that hasn't been done before,
right,
even when we started it. So it was a real Hail Mary at attempting a new type of visual type of digital content that had never been done before. And there's a reason why, because it's really difficult. Do you spend 100% of your show just answering questions? Because I don't know many people that just want to watch a Q&A session, or on the contrary, an open mic at a comedy club. You kind of have to find the perfect median in between, that the audience knows that they have that voice and they have influence over what you're thinking and what you're saying, but you're also providing quality.
Yeah.
And uniqueness to that's the biggest challenge that we face, not only on Buckets, but in this style of content that we've been producing. Because, again, I'm going to make the point that I don't think it's been done before. And there's a reason why. This is our stab at it.
Well, you guys are also doing two of the things that were some of the biggest eye-opening things for me to learn when I first started in radio. And that was, one, talk about what people are talking about, and you guys are clearly doing that. And two is, you're not afraid to live your life on the air. Like, you talked about the idea, okay, I'm home, it's 3 a.m., I'm starving, had a couple drinks, I got to figure out what's the best way to cook pizza rolls. And it's now evolved into, I don't know, should I be backing out? This girl that I was checking out on LinkedIn might have seen me browsing from afar. But that's a way to connect with people that a lot of traditional shows typically won't do. And you've embraced that. Has there ever been a point, though, where that personal connection with the audience has ever backfired on you?
No, I don't think it's ever backfired. But I also see why a lot of on-air personalities, whether male, female, it honestly doesn't matter. I see why they don't want to live their lives in public, because if you spill the beans too much about something, you get some crazy person that really makes your life a living hell. Some people just don't want that. They're kind of happy with what they're doing. Me personally, my thing is just, I've always tried and shown that I'm relatable. You know, I'm like, I was a commenter. I was one of you guys. I still am, I
right.
think. I just have a platform to do something different. So it's more so just a preference for me that I don't mind sharing things that happen in my personal life, because I'm genuinely interested in what the public thinks. I know I'm going to catch some flack. Some people, it opens me up more. So I get a lot of people that don't agree with the way I do things, and they think I'm corny or cheesy. And you know what? I have to accept that, because I'm willing to be so open. But I do see the benefit of being authentic, is that people seeing me, the authenticity of what I'm doing is more so than I just don't like this guy, period. I also don't blame anyone. That just is, I'm here to do my show and go about my business and go home to my family, because there are bigger things in life for most people than just a Periscope show and such. It's tough. You know, you never want to live your life. You never want to live your life on the, and I don't even know how to say it unless you like absolutely have to, but I think I choose to do it, maybe, which is what the difference is.
Right. You don't provide every single detail of every single moment of your life. It's the part that you feel can work as a crowdsource, that is interactive, that there's open-ended discussion to. In other words, if you're just going to the store, that's fine, but okay, I'm debating between Fruity Pebbles and Captain Crunch. This has been a 10-year debate in my life. You know, then at least there's open-ended, there's discussion, there's dialogue, and you can sort of expand it a little bit, if that makes sense. Before we get you out of here, and again, I appreciate your time. Rob Perez is kind enough to join us here on the podcast today. Do you ever watch the Dan Le Batard show over on, on ESPN? So, you know, they do the looks like game, right?
Yes.
I love that show. And as somebody who is as knowledgeable and as well-versed in the NBA, I have a few looks like candidates that I want to run by you, because I'm going to use you as sort of my interpreter into the next step of trying to get them nominated onto the Le Batard show. So you tell me if they suck, you tell me if they're great, and we'll move on.
Okay.
Does Jeff Van Gundy look like his wife wanted cranberry juice and not cranberry juice cocktail as he begrudgingly heads back to the store?
I'm supposed to answer this with like or sucks?
Either one. Yeah. That's terrible. I see it. I just realized that sort of in the context of doing this sort of in a radio interview, it got a little bit more difficult than I thought.
I like the description. Jeff Van Gundy seems like someone that asks, can you go get the orange Gatorade from the store? And then they come back and they say, there was no orange Gatorade, but I brought you a purple one. That's what Jeff Van Gundy's face looks like to me. So, yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Okay. Does Steve Kerr look like the airplane pilot that thanks you for flying with us in the onboard safety video?
Yes.
Does David Fizdale look like a train conductor?
No.
I really like that one. So,
no. No. David Fizdale looks like he should be writing, I think it's the glasses. It looks like he should be writing code on the window in the movie The Social Network. I don't know why, but he seems like that kind of guy to me.
David Fizdale is the guy that you send in to fight Cambridge Analytica?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so this is good. This is a brainstorming session for me. Okay. Does Larry Brown look like the man who storms the Genius Bar at the Apple Store, furious that his iMachine won't turn on, only to realize that it was never plugged in the first place?
Yes, and he has a 1995 XP Windows desktop. It's not even a laptop.
That he also brings into the Apple Store.
Yes, yes, that's accurate.
Okay, and then final one, does Ricky Rubio look like your ex-girlfriend's rebound on a Costa Rica trip?
100%. Okay. Could not be more accurate.
Perfect. All right, before we let you go, is there anything that's really stood out as far as surprises? Is that Philadelphia might be putting themselves into full-on contention mode for the Eastern Conference? Or maybe it was Portland getting eliminated and swept by New Orleans in the fashion which they did? Has anything really stood out from you in this first round?
Yeah, I mean, I'll try and not talk about LeBron just because it's so obvious. But in terms of surprises, I thought the 76ers wouldn't even win 43 games. I made that bet with the city of Philadelphia and I lost. So, it's a surprise to me that the Philadelphia 76ers have proven to be the class of the Eastern Conference. I think they are the team that is ultimately going to represent the East in the finals. The bigger actual, if you're using the term surprise, to me is we should be surprised that we're not surprised that Brad Stevens is doing what he's doing with half a team. I mean, he's got a bunch of G League promotions up. That's a little harsh, but watching Brad Stevens work with a team with all of its all-stars injured, they're still as scary as ever because this man is just an absolute X's and O's, ATO. Anytime there's a timeout called, you know the Celtics are getting 2 points. He is leaps, bounds ahead of anyone that he's going up against. And taking this group and potentially not only winning a first round series, but, you know, giving someone like the 76ers a problem in the next round is a very realistic possibility. And it's only because that man is from day one has proven that he is the class of coaching. And it's hard to share that with a mainstream type of sports fan because they see the players play.
Right.
But if we can just talk for we'll do a sequel to this podcast and talk about how great Brad Stevens has been when it comes to whiteboard type of stuff. I implore you to watch the Celtics simply for that reason.
I loved the hire when it was first happening. I remember as an Indiana guy that people thought that for sure he was going to leave Butler to come to IU. And I think there's still some lunatic Indiana fans that think he would leave the Boston Celtics to go back to Indiana. I know it's literally the most insane concept that I've ever heard, but hang on to that theory. He's a wonderful NBA coach. Watch him, check him out on Twitter at @WorldWideWob, world_wide_wob. Rob Perez, the co-host of Buckets with Cassidy Hubbard on Cycle Media and ESPN. Again, for more Buckets, be sure to go to facebook.com/buckets and also live.twitter.com/ESPN. Also check out Cycle on Twitter. Their handle is @BYCycle. Rob, always good to talk to you, man. Best of luck with everything. Continue the great content. And you're right. Let's do this again soon.
Sounds good, man. Thanks for having me.
My thanks to Worldwide Wob, Rob Perez, for hopping on the podcast today. Always appreciate his time. He's a terrific follow and a must-follow during the NBA postseason. Keep it locked in over to awfulannouncing.com for the latest on everything in the world of sports media. Give us a follow as well at Awful Announcing on Twitter. For Rob, this is Ben saying thank you for listening. We will talk to you again next time on the Awful Announcing podcast, presented by Clip It.